cares about those things. We might think it's little, but those things are not. By the way, this isn't an offering basket. I know you're like, I'm walking up here with this basket, and you're saying, oh my goodness, what is this thing? I thought I'd have a little fun with you this morning, so I'm going to do that. We might think that those things are trivial, but they're not. I remember being in just a while ago, actually probably about maybe 7 years ago, I was here in Slave Lake, and my dog had gone missing. And I pulled out a picture of him. God, I love my dog. How many of you got pets, right? You got pets? And I feel like God's changing my message here this morning, so I might just go some other direction than what I was going to do. That happens to me a lot. I had this picture of my dog there, and I looked at it. And I kept hearing God say, I want you to tell him to come home. I'm looking at the picture, and I said, Joey, I said, in Jesus' name, come home. Because he'd been gone for a day. And I'm like, that's my dog. And I know you met Joey before, little Joey, right? Anyway, little Pomeranian dog. Anyways, the next morning, I hear this scratching at the door. And there's this dirty, pathetic-looking dog standing at the door. And it was my dog, Joe. And I looked at him, and boy, I was so thrilled to see Joey. And he does care about that. And you know, the love of God. I don't know if you guys really realize the love of God today. I was driving through Westlock, and I was overcome by the love of God for me. And I don't know if you realize the love of God for you. You know, the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. You know, there's something that happens in our life when we understand and we recognize the love of God. It passes everything that you could ever imagine, everything you could ever think, everything you could ever want, everything you could ever hope for. The love of God is far greater than that. I remember A.W. Tozer, he said at the end of his life, he said, this one thing I know, he says, of all the things, and he was one of the greatest theologians that have ever lived as far as I'm concerned, and he said these words, he said, Jesus loves me. And I thought, what a profound statement. You know, we pass over the little statements because we put them off as trivial. Well, I know that Jesus loves me. I sang that in Sunday school, and every day I'd sing that song in Sunday school. But you know what? That is the most profound statement that we could ever say out of our mouths. That's the most profound thing that we could ever receive as the body of Christ. The fact that Jesus loves us. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, it says that we're to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. It's about a rooting and a grounding. When you're rooted and grounded in the love of God, everything changes in your life. You never, from that moment when God begins to ground you and you begin to sink your roots into the love of God, you see, and in fact, God said very plainly, he said, this is my commandment for you, that you love one another. See, love is so important to God that God came and he modeled it for us. He modeled it so that we can live in love toward one another. That's amazing. I don't know about you, but the first thing God did, it says that we love him because he first loved us. The reason why we love at all is because God first loved us. Isn't that awesome? That is the mark right there. That is everything. When we begin to step out into that, then we have something. And my prayer for us today is that we would step into a greater measure of what it means to be loved by God, or an understanding of what it means to be loved by God, because it surpasses knowledge. You see, when you understand you're loved by God, what does the Bible say? When you need finances, when you need something to happen in your life, when you need a breakthrough, what does the Bible say? Don't worry about tomorrow. In Matthew 6, for tomorrow will take care of itself. It has enough worries of its own. And it says that if your Father so clothes the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, how much more would he do for those he loves? Think about that for a moment. How much more would God do for those he loves? See, we kind of gloss over some of those passages, but those passages are love letters to us. God's actually saying to us, you know what? I care about you and I love you so much. That in your circumstance is important to me. The dog that's lost is important to me. Your family member that's gone astray is important to me. Your marriage is important to me. He says, if I so clothe the leaves of the field and the birds of the air, how much more would I do for those I love? And I have to look in the mirror and I have to say, you know what? I'm loved by God. And when I was coming through Westlock, I realized how much I was loved by God, and I was overwhelmed by a sense of his love filling the cab of my car. Has that ever happened to you? I was sitting there, and you know, the presence of God started to fill me and started to come all around my car, and I'm like so overwhelmed by his presence. And you know, it's in those moments of realization that God is with you. I remember, and I, you know, if I ever tell the same story over and over again, it's like a good rerun, okay? You can take this, all right? I used to watch reruns all the time. So here, you might get a rerun. Is that okay? Well, I was sitting on my bed one day after my surgery, and man, I was sitting there, I was whining. Anybody ever whine? I'm the biggest whiner there is, I'm telling you. I whine worse than the guys in Israel, I'm telling you. God bless them, but I whine, okay? They're historically known for whining a little bit. So I can pick on them a little bit, anyway. So here I was whining, and I turned on the computer screen, and Reinhard Bonnke gets on there, and he says, "Are you feeling low?" And I said, "Yeah, I am. I'm feeling low." I was feeling like a big whiner. And so he said to me, he said, "God is with you." And I thought to myself, God is with me. Whoa. All of a sudden, for the first time in my life, it hit me. God is with me. Because up until that present time, I began to ask God to come and be with me. I felt like I had to do something. I had to pray and ask God to come and be with me. Do you realize that takes the onus off him and puts it on you? But the truth of the matter is that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says God is with you. It doesn't say come and pray and ask him to be with you. It says that he's with you. And I realized for the first time in my life that God was with me. And he said, "I will be with you wherever you go." And there was a realization in that moment. I realized that God was always with me. And so I changed the structure of my prayer life. I started to realize there was something deeper in this that I needed to see. And so I began to change the structure of the way my life had been going. Instead of calling out to him and asking him to be with me, I started approaching him with faith, knowing that he was with me. That's a change. There's something that takes place on the inside of us when we realize those things. God is with you. Do you realize that when you get up in the morning, when I rise, what does the Bible say? You are there, right? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I descend to the lowest parts of Sheol, even there your right hand will hold me fast, right? It doesn't say if you ask me to be with you, I'm going to be with you. If you go through a difficulty, I'm going to be with you. The Bible says, what shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Neither things present nor things to come, nor principalities nor powers. Right? We know that nothing shall by any means separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He is with you always. He said, I'll be with you always to the end of the age. Always. That's a powerful statement, church. Some of you have to get that realization on the inside of you. Because, you know, when you go into your workplace and you're drowning, there's things going on in your life. Maybe you're struggling with something. You know what? You need to know today that God is with you. And the same God that filled the cab of my car, the same God that heard the cry of my heart, and even the prayer of a mother and a grandmother to have that dog come home, heard you today, is listening for you. The Bible says that God is waiting for you. It says his eyes are on the righteous. And I don't know about you, but you might be thinking this morning that you're not very righteous. Maybe you came to the place where you did some things in your walk. Maybe you're doing some things right now that you're not proud of. But I want you to know something. This is something that God grabbed a hold of my heart too. Is you're not righteous in any way, shape, or form by anything that you've done or anything you will do in the future. Has nothing to do with you. Isn't that awesome? The Bible says that Christ gave us his righteousness. That we've become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so the realization of the fact that God did something for me that I could not do on my own transformed my life. I'm no longer the same person, not because of Rodney Fortin, not because of the things that I do or continue to do, because I continue to mess up. Is there anybody like that here this morning? But I know that God is good, and he continues to call us. He continues to lead us. He continues to move us forward. Why? Because of his righteousness. See, I realized in the process of all this is that because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ and it had nothing to do with me, anything that I ever did, I realized that nothing could change that fact. Think about that for a moment. Even when you're messing up big time, nothing can change the fact that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's amazing, church. That's worth standing up out of your seat and shouting and getting excited. Because I'll tell you what, even in your sin and trespasses, even in the darkness of what that looks like, God in Christ, while you were dead in your trespasses and sins, Christ died for you. You know what? Even before the foundation of the world, even before sin entered the world, God already had a plan. That's amazing. That means that God had the foresight to see you long ahead. The Bible says that God predestined you to be conformed to the image of Christ. That means even before any of this ever happened, even before you begin to mess up in your life, even before Adam sinned, God saw. He saw you. And he said, you know what? You're worth it. I tell a story in one of my books that actually it's interesting because this boy, he's kicking this rock down the road and they're playing kick the rock. Back when we were kids, we didn't have the money for stuff. We had simple toys like rocks. Isn't that awesome? Anybody was there? Simple toys. Now, like my toy up here, I'm going to do that in a little while just for fun. But, you know, so we had simple toys. So we kick a rock down the road, and one person would run ahead, and they kick a rock, and pretty soon, this old man comes walking up the road, and he bends down, and he picks up the rock, and he dusts it off. He said, hey, boys, you know what you guys are kicking around here? Well, it's just a rock. Well, when he dusted it off, all of a sudden the sun caught the little edges and everything, and all of a sudden the beams began to shoot everywhere off that little rock of theirs that they were kicking. And they realized that they were kicking a diamond. Do you realize that you start your life, every day of your life, until you know this simple truth, you start your life like that rock. And the enemy kicks you around, and you allow other people to kick you around, and you even kick yourself around because you don't see the worth that you have inside you. Now, you recognize today that a diamond has no idea what it's worth until worth is ascribed to it. Nobody knows how much that diamond is worth until you put a price tag on it. Isn't that true? So it could be worthless. Like, it could be just a simple little rock. But the moment somebody puts it on a piece of gold and puts it on somebody's, a lady's finger, all of a sudden, bam, that thing's expensive, right? In fact, it became more and more expensive as time went on. But you need to know something. When the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life, when Jesus stretched out his arms, he said, I love you this much. And he said, you are the diamond and I'm ascribing value to you. See, that's the value that God put on you. Before you were that rock that was being kicked around, but when you realize that you're a diamond and you look in the mirror and you see the love of God, when you see the love of God for you, all of a sudden everything begins to change. You begin to see yourself as worth something. You begin to see the worth that God ascribed to you. And no longer do you receive messages about yourself that are negative. No longer do, when somebody talks down to you and says something to you, no longer do you receive that, because at that very moment you turn toward heaven and you say, Father, what do you say? And the Father says to me, he says, I love you. He says, I love you. He says, man, he says, I'm so passionate about you. He says, when I see you, my fire burns. And he says, I can't wait till you wake up every morning and your eyes open so that you can look up at me. This is the heart of God. God never changes. In fact, his love grows. You say, well, how can his love grow if he never changes? But I tell you the truth this morning that the reason why his love grows is because of our realization of the love of God. The more I realize the love of God, the more I see how big it is. And the more I see how big it is, listen, how it changes us, how we see other people, how I see people. You know what? I can look around and I can see people that are just like messed up all the time. And some people I don't want to have a relationship with. But when I see that person from the love of God vantage point, all of a sudden there's a love that happens there. And we begin to see them through the heart of Jesus. We begin to see them as people created in the image of God. That's the point. Church, that's the point. That's the point of the gospel. The gospel message is seeing people in light of being created in the image and likeness of God. See, because when I can see people in that light, all of a sudden my heart begins to burn for them too. All of a sudden the relationship that's vertical between me and my Father in heaven is now going out horizontal. See, God never asked us to keep it to ourselves. He said, let your light shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. How do I let my light shine? I let my light shine by loving Jesus, first of all. And the more I love Jesus, the more I'm going to love people. We know it. I think this is one of the things in this church is loving God, loving people, right? Isn't that true? Isn't that the mandate of the church? To love God and love people? But I'll tell you what, you can't love people in the flesh. But I'll tell you this, the more you get connected with Jesus Christ, the more you are embracing relationship with him, the more you encounter him, the more you're going to love in a natural way. You're going to love your family. You're going to love your friends. But you're going to love in a whole different way. It's not going to be superficial. It's not going to be based on what you want or your needs or what you can do. Because those things are irrelevant. Isn't that true? But when we step into the love of God, first of all, we know our identity. What does our identity say? I'm loved by God. God loves me this much. Who am I? I'm a son of God, loved by God. That's who I am. When I step into the world, I don't step into the world any other way anymore. I'm not a pastor. I'm not an evangelist, a prophet. I do those things. That's not who I am. I'm God's son. And as I walk as God's son, as I begin to know who I am, all of a sudden everything else falls into place. All of a sudden in that identity, I being in him and he being in me, don't you know that I am in him and he is in me, Jesus said? Jesus could only do it because he heard his Father say, this is my beloved son. That was his identity. Today, you are my son and I have begotten you. He was the only begotten son of the Father, full of grace and truth, according to John chapter 1. But the Bible says, for those who believe in him, we are born not of the will of man, nor of the will of flesh, but we are born of God. We're to be born from above. When we're born from above, we're being born again. And being born again means we've been begotten of him. We have his seed on the inside of us so that we can now live our life. The Bible says that we can, in him, we live and move and have our being. In him. Isn't that awesome? So from this moment on, I consider myself dead. And I reconcile myself as being alive unto Christ Jesus. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's who I am now. I'm Rod, God's son. I'll tell you what. Here's what happens. All of a sudden, that barrier, all the things that can hit you before, they don't hit you anymore. I got this jacket around me all the time. And it's Jesus. I've been clothed with the righteousness of God. And when I stand before God, I stand before him completely clean, completely having been washed, completely righteous. I don't concern myself with sin anymore. That was who I was. I'm no longer that person anymore. And that relationship with God, listen, grace is not a license to sin. Grace actually empowers us to live righteously. Think about that for a moment. The more I recognize the grace and love of God for me, the more I'm compelled to walk in righteousness. Isn't that awesome? But you know, I don't have to try. It's not a try. You don't have to try. You don't have to work this. You don't have to work hard. All you have to do is look to the Lord. The Bible says if we look to him, the veil's removed, we behold him as in a mirror, and we're being changed from glory to glory. So where does the change come from? The change comes from the love of God. The change comes from relationship with God. The more I grow, the more I'm impacted by him, the more I behold him, I'm being changed. Church, I got to tell you this morning, really simple. Turn to him. Look to him. Looking unto him, the author and finisher of our faith. It's looking his way. Turn your gaze. Cast your cares upon me, he says, for I care for you. Do you realize that? This morning, God's love knows no bounds for you. You know what that means? He sees everything you're going through. He sees everything you need. He sees everything. And God is willing right now to come and meet you. I don't know what that is. I don't know what your need is. I've talked to some of you this morning. And some of the needs are big. But I'll tell you what, God knows. And God already has it in his sights this morning. God cares about it. I don't know about you, but that's amazing. I heard a joke this morning. I got to tell you this joke. I know. I'm going to break the ice here. Whew. I'm going to break the ice. Here it comes. I think you'll like this. This guy, he was standing in front of a judge. And the judge says, so what did you do? Mr. Forrester, what did you do? He says, well, I stole some peaches. He says, well, how many peaches did you steal? He says, well, I stole a jar and it had 5 peaches in it. And he says, I'm going to give you 1 week for every peach that you stole. And his wife stood up and he said, Your Honor, she says, I have to confess too. She said, he actually stole a jar of peas too. That's a good one right there. See, sometimes, I'll tell you what, God is so good. I come in here this morning and I had this word, anyways. And I thought about another one. I thought, oh, maybe I'll preach that one instead. And I just kept hearing love, love, love. Allow yourself to be bathed in the love of God. Church, when you look in the mirror, you need to see yourself as the beloved. You know, John had the right idea, didn't he? I'm his favorite. We have a lady back home, and I don't have a whole lot of fellowship with this lady, but she has a plaque on her desk. And the plaque said, I'm God's favorite. And I'm thinking, that's pretty cool. We could think, oh, that's pretty prideful. But the truth is if you get that, if you begin to see, how many of you daughters out there feel like your dad's favorite? Anybody ever experienced that? Come on, anybody? Yeah, you got one. Got one? Anybody? Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sitting next to dad. That's awesome. But you probably are. Isn't that true? I've got my favoritist girl at home too. And I'd do anything for her. Well, when you realize that, when you realize that you're God's favorite, you begin to treat yourself differently. You know what? You might even put on some really nice clothes. You might deck yourself out really good. You might start treating yourself a little bit better. You might stop doing some things that you shouldn't be doing because you shouldn't be treating yourself that way because you're a man or woman of God. See what I mean? You might just all of a sudden come into a new realm of feeling good. See, when God started to speak these things to me, listen, church, something on the inside happened to me. And I'll tell you what, I didn't realize this. Honestly, I was pastoring for years. And I don't think I truly started loving people till about 5 years ago, to be honest with you. Let me be frank. I pastored for 23 years. And I don't think I really started loving people till about 5 years ago. You know why? Because I didn't understand the love of God until about 5 years ago. When God grabbed a hold of my heart and something happened on the inside of me. And I'll tell you what, when God does that for you, and I hope it's this morning, I hope you can grab the word of God, and I hope when you read it, all of a sudden those pages come alive and you see the much more. How much more would God do for those he loves? He's greater to do abundantly more than we would ever ask or think. When we begin to get those things, I think I shared this one story. I want to share it again. There's a few new people here. It's another rerun. Here, watch. I was in West Hampton Mall, and I saw a drone. I think, how many of you remember that story? Anybody? The drone story? Maybe. Oh, you don't. Oh, this is good. This is the first time then. It's good. I was looking at this drone in the drone shop, and I thought to myself, I just thought it. I thought, wouldn't it be great to have that? I'm like, man, big kid came up inside me all of a sudden. I'm just welling up kid right there. I just expanded kid. And I begin to get excited. And then I left the store realizing that I couldn't buy it. But I did. I thought it. Well, I was in Kelowna last year, or about a year and a half ago. And I'm going into this meeting, and I'm about to get up there and preach. And this prophet of God comes up to me, and he says, hey, psst, psst. Look in the bag. And he hands me this bag, and inside the bag was the drone that I saw. The exact same model. I'm telling you, the same model that I said I would like to have. And I reached in and I looked at it. I said, this is amazing, this thing. And he said, you touched it, it's yours. And in that moment, God spoke to me, and he said, Rod, he said, I want you to know that I love you. He said, I approve of you. You're my beloved. And he said, I'm able to do more than you would ever ask or think. I realized in that very moment that sometimes, have you ever had a prayer that you just thought and God answered it? God wants you to know that he's listening to you. He's listening to your thoughts. He cares about. Because you know what? The truth is if you couldn't speak, you could still speak. Have you ever met a mute person, somebody that couldn't speak? They can still speak. Because it's deep calling unto deep. It's your spirit reaching out to God. God, that person was speaking. My spirit was speaking. When I looked at that drone, my spirit was speaking. And God saw my spirit. And he wanted to bless me for it. Some of us think this morning that we're not worthy. If you've had that title over your life, you need to take it off. That's an ugly title. Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus not worthy? Is Jesus not worthy? What if Jesus stood here and said, I'm not worthy? What would you say to Jesus? You'd walk up to him and you'd say, Jesus, come on, not you. Man, look at you. You're the Son of God. Jesus, not you. Look at what you did. Look at all the stuff. Look at the miracles. Look at all the things that you did to love people. And you're saying you're not worthy? Do you realize that as he is in this world, so are you? That's what 1 John chapter 4 says. God went to the cross to sit at the right hand of the Father so that you could receive your identity, so that he could show you how much you're worth. You know, worthy has the stem word worth, worthy. When you realize you're worth, all of a sudden you realize that you're worthy. I don't see myself that way anymore. Every one of you here in this place, you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. You're worthy. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ did for you. Maybe you didn't deserve it, but you know what? None of us did. But Jesus said, I love that person so much. We need to change the way we think. We need to change the way we think about God so that we can receive from him. How many of you have had a hard time receiving from God, receiving gifts and things like that. You know what? When you understand the love of God, that's going to change. All of a sudden, you're going to realize that God loves you so much that he just can't wait to give you the next thing. He loves it. God lavishes himself. He loves it. I even pray this way. I'm like, Lord, I thank you that you love giving me good things. Any of you ever pray that way? God, I thank you that you love me so much that you see my future. You already know what's good for me. And God, I trust you in that. But God, oh, that drone looked pretty good. Do you hear what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, God sees my heart. And he just loves to give good gifts to his kids. Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. And you know what? God never changes. Shadow never shifts. Never changes. That's who he is. And I'm not saying we're doing the gimme, gimme, my name's Jimmy thing. I'm not a name it and claim it guy. But what I do understand is relationship. And I've got a relationship with my Father that says that he loves me. And the more I recognize I'm loved by God, the more I realize that everything that he has is mine. And boy, that's a huge thing right there. That makes sense? Yeah. I want to pray for you this morning. And then I'm going to do something funny, okay? All right, I'm going to pray. Father, this morning, I thank you for your word. God, your word is so good. Lord, I thank you for shifting gears for me this morning and for your people. Father, I feel like I did what I was supposed to do this morning. Lord, if I left anything out, I trust you to make up the difference. Now, Lord, this morning I pray that, God, you would take us into a new realm of what it means to be loved by God, loved by you. Lord, I pray that those who struggle with that, I pray that you'd open up their hearts now in Jesus' name. Father, let the floodgates, open the floodgates of your presence to us. And Lord, I know that you want to more than we even want you to. Lord, I pray that you would change the way we think and the way we pray. Father, we recognize this morning that you're with us, that you love us, that you never change. So Lord, I pray that we'd recognize that and always keep that in mind. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God praise this morning? Can we just lift it up? Come on, give him a big clap. Okay, like at a hockey game. Come on, let's give him a big clap. Yeah. I know this is a little weird, okay, because I walked in here with this little thing. You thought I was going to come around here like this. Yeah, I didn't see that. You guys don't take up an offering here, right? It's at the back in the box. You know, I remember Pastor Tracy and I talking about that. In fact, we had a box at Abundant Life, too, and that's pretty cool. You know what? The truth is, God knows your heart, right? And if God has your heart, you're going to give. That's just the way it is. If you're going to walk in obedience with God, if you want everything he has, I'll encourage you to give. That's just part of being a kingdom guy. We give, right? And even sometimes when it just feels like, even when it kind of hurts a little bit. But I'll tell you what, when you do, God will bless you. So this isn't an offering envelope or an offering basket. Although it does look like an offering basket, doesn't it? I need somebody. Hey, let me get this guy second in here. Can you pick on you? Come on.